Welcome to series 3 of the Student Connect podcast.
My name's Danny. I am a level 6 or final year student currently studying PE and youth sport coaching.
And I am Tiff, a final year film, television and radio student who is specialising in film.
Very nice, very nice. This podcast is created in association with Stafford University and is hosted by our student content creator team.
It is a student-led podcast which shares the experiences of students progressing through university education and inviting experts from a variety of life topics.
In this series, we are exploring cultures to grow our understanding and deepen our knowledge about the diverse backgrounds that make up our community.
We want you to help shape the series, so if you'd like to join us as a guest, email us on comms@staffs.ac.uk or drop @staffsuni in a DM on social media.
Along the way, we will endeavour to share our honest stories, although sometimes too honest, to help to educate and discover more about other cultures.
There may be some sensitive topics discussed. We feel these are important to share to raise awareness of different issues.
If at any point we do use any incorrect terminology, please rest assured that this is not an intention to offend, and this is just us educating ourselves. So without further ado,
let's get started,
get straight into it. So Tiff, how are you?
Back. I'm good, thanks. I'm back.
In the podcast scene.
I've missed it.
Yeah.
I've really missed it, honestly. Yeah. I've been so busy, so much has happened, so it just feels like it was ages ago.
No, it's good to have you back. And obviously we had Nunica with us last time, and she absolutely smashed it. She was brilliant. If you are watching Nunica, you did a smashing job. And we had Nkwanda on, who was our aeronautical engineering student. I hope I got that right, Nkwanda.
Too smart for me.
And it was a really good episode. We were in front of the Spitfire. It was, I love the Spitfire anyway. You know, it's
a born and bred Stokey girl.
I love it. Oh, so good. So good. But no, how you been? How's university been going?
I feel right. Deadlines are coming up. Mm-hmm. I've got deadlines over Christmas and New Year as well. And I feel like I feel more behind than I actually am.
All right.
So I'm in a bit of a worry. Panic, but I know I'll get it done.
Yeah.
Like, it's not too late.
Yeah, you'll be
it's
all right.
Fine.
Yeah.
No, it's been busy. Since I was last on here, I've changed my specialism.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know you could specialise. What was it specialised before?
Yeah, so, because obviously it's film, TV and radio, so in final year, you only focus on one as your main thing, and I chose radio. Had a bit of a wobble and said to myself, what am I doing?
Yeah.
This is not why I wanted to come to uni at all. I've, got lost in this amazing world of a part of a course that I never thought I'd love as much. But then I started thinking about what it is I really wanted to do, my heart was still with film, so I did a bit of a dramatic last minute swap, but it's been the best decision I've ever
that's
made.
Good. Yeah, and it's good that you've realized that early on rather than sticking through with radio and then you're at the end of it and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. So if anything, it's a good thing that you've realized early on. I was in a similar position past few weeks to do with teaching. Also, I want to go into primary school teaching. And I've sort of realised that actual classroom teaching, I can't stand it at all. No. And if you can do it, fair play. I respect that. So I am focusing more, when obviously I do my PGC and stuff, to just solely PE teaching within
just
primary
that.
Schools because you have way, in my opinion, I'm going to not have the stress of obviously because dealing with kids in a classroom and dealing with the kids in a practical, completely different. You wouldn't think it from an external point of view, but it's so much different. And I think I'm just going to solely stick with the PE stuff. But I think it's good, these obstacles do come along and you either, it changes what you do or you get through it.
Was it your placement that made you realise that?
It wasn't my placement, it was working externally. So I was doing supply, teaching assistant.
Oh, yeah.
And just a week of that made me realise that, don't really want to do classroom teaching. And even got to an extent where I was like, do I actually want to do teaching overall? And that was a bit drastic.
Yeah.
Got in my head a little bit, but I kind of sat down with myself, realised that, PE teaching is what I want to do. I've been wanting to do this for the past 5 years and stick through with that. But I'd also been starting to consider about lecturing as well.
I would
really like to do lecturing and sort of teach people how to teach other people.
Yeah,
or teach children.
I get what you mean.
If that makes sense, But I think if I can get some years under my belt of doing direct teaching and then maybe go back to it, I think that
sounds
like
a good plan.
I think that would be good, yeah. But apart from that, in terms of uni stuff, I'm on the ball. I'm on the ball. Majority of my assignments are nearly done. I'm loving it. My deadlines are all in January, but yeah. I make personal deadlines, and if I don't hit them, I hammer myself. But no, I'm on the ball, and it's going good. I'm still only in one day a week, but no,
really?
It's going
That's
good. Yeah,
wild
one day a week. I know.
To me, like,
I know.
I'd hate that.
Like 10 till 6.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. But we've got to go through. Okay, so today we have been welcomed by our local synagogue in Stoke-on-Trent and North Staffordshire Hebrew congregation by Rabbi and President Martin Morris.
We are here during Hanukkah, the Jewish Festival of Lights, and the Jewish 8-day Festival of Lights is celebrated with a nightly candle lighting, which is adding a flame each night, as well as performing special prayers, dreidel playing, and there's lots of fried foods.
So today we'll be learning more about Hanukkah and Jewish culture with our guest and Staffordshire University student, Abby Lewis.
So, hi Abby, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself and what you study at Staffordshire University?
Hi, I'm Abby. I'm a second year children's student nurse and I'm originally from Manchester.
Lovely, lovely. So how's it going at university? Enjoying it? Busy?
Very busy. It's different because I've moved away from home, so yeah. I'm living on my own at the minute, which is obviously a different change from what I'm used to.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
How are you finding the motherland of Stoke-on-Trent?
It's not as bad as everyone says it is.
Everyone says
That's
that.
Not how
everyone
feel
says
all the time.
That. So you felt like you've sort of settled in well.
Yeah.
Like since you've been, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. What was it, is it? Much different to, like, obviously, like, back home in Manchester, or is it, like, similar, or...?
Very different, because Manchester's got lots of places, like, social places you can go to. Stoke's obviously different, but they're similar in a way.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's good, that's good.
I'm from Birmingham, so, like, I've kind of got the same, like... I'm not going to call it a shock, but, like, busy city.
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of like a city and a town. Like, it's... Yeah. It's a lot more cosy, but it's still quite...
Yeah, but I think that's because it stems from it being obviously six towns that make one city.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I think each town is like unique and different in its own way, in a way. But obviously, as you could probably tell, I am the resident Stokey of our content creator team, and I love Stoke. I absolutely love Stoke. Oatcakes. Yes.
Never had an oatcake.
The football club's not so much, but you know what? Excuse me.
Definitely try an oatcake.
I'm trying to get through without having an oatcake.
No, honestly.
I tried an oatcake once, then the following summer, back in Birmingham, I was so tempted to come up to Stoke just to get an oatcake.
It doesn't have, like, addictive ingredients. I know she's describing it, yeah. But it's just it's life-changing. As soon as you have one, it will change your life.
It will, honestly.
And there's vegan options as well, so, you know, like, it's basically... I'm going to give you a bit of history lesson here. The oatcake history, as it used to be quite known for, obviously, like, pot banks and the mining, and workers had taken oatcake and put, like, sausage, bacon, egg, cheese, and that would be their breakfast wrap, and that's where it stems from. And so, obviously, like, now, it's just a part of, like, our culture, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's sort of where it's
making me hungry
where it stemmed
now.
From. I know. No, just go for oatcakes after. But yeah, you can have like cheese on it. You could just don't have beans on it. Cause some people do that's a bit weird.
I don't like baked beans anyway.
Well, there you go. Oh, there you go. You're winning anyway.
Winning.
But yes, getting back onto the topic of this episode rather than oatcakes. I love to hear about and talk about oatcakes all day, but I'm not going to. I'm going to resist the urge. Obviously, this episode is about Jewish culture. So can you tell us about how impactful that's been on your life, any stories you might have, and just what it means to be Jewish?
Well, I grew up and both my parents are Jewish, and I grew up in part of a Jewish community in Manchester. And in Manchester, we're part of an Orthodox synagogue, so we're not strictly religious at home, but the synagogue is religious in itself.
Yeah.
And I went to a Jewish primary school when I was younger.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice. And how impactful was that? Because, like, for me in primary school, it was obviously, like, very, like, Christianity-based and, like, you know, I don't know about you, Tiff, but, like, the songs would be, like, oh, it's singing about, like, and obviously I'm atheist, so I don't follow.
Well,
but, like, I always found it, like, weird looking. But, like, when I was there in primary school, I'd always take part, but Like, yeah,
I know what you mean.
Kind of see what even I'm going from.
Mm. If it's an, they'll say it's like a non-religious school, but there's still that implementation of it, isn't there? But
yeah, how was that like in a Jewish school? Was it?
It's different to what I'm assuming was in a kind of Christian-based school, because we had Jewish prayers in the morning in our assemblies, and every week, obviously, we have the Shabbat, which is the special holy night on a Friday night. Mm. So on Friday mornings, we would have, I think it was three people from, like, maybe one from each youth group or something was chosen to be part of the Shabbat family. Mm. So we kind of had a mock-up Friday night dinner within the school.
Mm. So what is a Shabbat? Because unfortunately, I'm very uneducated in terms of...
Yeah, me as well.
In terms of, it's like, what is it? Can you tell us more about that? Like, what it... Like, literally what it is.
So it's kind of... When the Jews, like, back in the day, they were given a loaf of bread, I think, every day of the week, and then on a Friday they were given two.
Yeah.
You know, the challah bread, the plaited bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why we have two of those on a Friday night. Mm.
Oh, very cool.
Within, like, your family, and obviously your religion is really important to you, have you got any key traditions or rituals that you do, kind of like the Friday night dinner?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm assuming people have watched the show Friday Night Dinner.
I was about to mention that, but I didn't know whether to go down that route.
No, it's similar to that, but obviously we don't have as much humour as they do. Because
yeah, it's a cracking show. If you've never watched Friday Night Dinner, watch it. It's a cracking show, yeah.
So, like, we would light the candles on a Friday night. Me and my mum and my dad would say a blessing over the children, and we would have the plaited bread, and we would have chicken soup and roast chicken.
Oh, nice. Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm whispering. Apologies. Don't know why I was doing that. So how do you celebrate the major holidays with your family? What's that sort of like?
So the main ones are about September, October time. It depends on the year of the way that the Jewish calendar falls. So there are different times of the year.
Yeah.
So those are the main ones. So like the Jewish New Year and the Day of Atonement. And our family comes together, we kind of have a big meal, and we just spend time with each other mainly.
That's good, yeah.
And then obviously around Easter we have Passover, which is the Exodus from Egypt. And I know you want me to talk about the importance of food later on.
Yeah.
But obviously that's kind of a main part, because that's what kind of draws people in and draws family together.
Yeah, that's good. So is there like a real, within like the Jewish community, like a real sense of like, what's the word, like family being a really important thing then? Yeah, that's good. So moving on to like the, I suppose, the community and the synagogue life. How do you participate in the Jewish community, and what role does the synagogue play in your life or in your family's lives?
Well, since I've been in Stokes now, it's my second year, I haven't had much experience because I haven't found there to be a big Jewish community like there is back at home.
Yeah.
But obviously back in Manchester, our synagogue is really big and it's quite a close-knit community. And I still remember my mum bringing me and my brother to services when we were children in the synagogue. Yeah. But it's important to know it's not just a religious area, it's also a communal centre.
Yeah.
So I used to be a leader at the Jewish Brownies Pack, which held in kind of the creche in the area at the bottom of the synagogue. Mm. And our rabbi, he's very communal and inclusive. So even if I don't attend regularly, he will still kind of point out to me, oh, hello, it's nice to see you, if he hasn't seen me for a while.
Yeah, yeah. That's really and just nice. Touching on that point as well, as you mentioned, working with the Brownies and the creche, has that played a part into your course that you're doing now? What was the course again? I don't get it wrong.
Child nursing.
Child nursing. So obviously, has that played a part in you kind of realising, oh, maybe that's the pathway?
I mean, I've kind of always wanted to do children's nursing from a young age, but it's also helped me to kind of give that leadership skills and
transferable skills, definitely. No, that's good. That's really good, because obviously like for me, like obviously mine's like a coaching background, been doing that since I was young, and that's made me realize that I want to work with children. So like them experiences that you've had there, it's good that you've had them, it's past tense, because obviously it can impact what you want to like do in the future.
It is quite mad in that way, because you'll like enjoy things and like things will kind of bring out spark in you, and you don't always understand why. Then when you really think about it, you're like, no, it makes sense.
Yeah. But I suppose it's good to have them like external opportunities and do things that are probably a bit different to what you'd normally doing. Like my little sister at the moment, she started playing football. Yeah. And I remember the first game, she came off after 3 minutes because she was like, I don't like this at all. And I said to her, I was like, you can give it up, that's perfectly fine. No one in the family's going to hate you. They're not going to be exiled. Yeah. You know, the exiled ones walked in, you know. But I said to her, I was like, just give it a go. And I think it was because she was uncomfortable. And so then she then went the next week and she's like, I actually really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And she's about 8 weeks into it now. And obviously the weather, obviously in Stoke-on-Trent, it's not the best, keeps getting the games cancelled, but she's improved so much. And like, you know, like the coaching thing with me, and like, I don't know about you, but it might feel a bit uncomfortable. Like the very first time doing it, cause you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. But like the progression, like you can get from it, it's, I don't know, it's quite impactful. And obviously, like I said, it can impact what even career you go into.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, mine's kind of the same, but it's not as, like, mine probably stems back to, like, because obviously I want to go into film and, like, directing.
Yeah.
I'd probably just say how imaginative I was as a kid when, yeah. like, you're playing by yourself in the back garden, you come up with all these yeah. stories.
But even that, like, that impact there from your child has yeah. impacted
you something.
As an adult. That's, yeah. why, that's what fascinates me about teaching. Because like I had quite a bad experience like in terms of like teaching up until year six, and then because I moved school and I had a brilliant experience, and that made me realise like, oh, my potential. But anyway, get straight back onto the topic. Apologies. I do love a tangent. Apologies. I do love a tangent. Honestly, I could talk for Britain. Some would say. So let's move on to let's talk about the challenges and stereotypes. Actually, so have you encountered any challenges or misconceptions about the Jewish culture?
I mean, obviously there's been the stuff in the news about the attacks on Israel, so that's kind of been there in the background.
Yeah.
But it's kind of since I've been at uni, everyone's been really supportive.
That's
and
good.
I've yeah. not experienced much. Obviously there's been stuff on the social medias yeah, and online yeah. which no one can help, but I've not experienced anything in person like I've heard at other universities.
Yeah. And was that the support, not the such supporty side, but at university, was that from the students that you have on your course or the lectures or a bit of both?
Actually, neither. Students who are, like, they're my friends, but they're on lots of other courses.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that still counts. That still counts as students, yeah.
yeah.
Because I found, especially at uni, that some of the people I get on with the most are on different courses. Not to say that I don't like anyone on my course, or everyone on my course is lovely, but some of the people on different courses, I get on really well with them, especially because we've got totally different interests and totally different careers we want to go into.
I think it's yeah. also a thing of, because then you don't see them every day, you know, yeah, your lectures, yeah. so it's, you kind of always have something to say to them when you see them.
Yeah, definitely. Because I mean, for me, it's more so the people on the different sport courses, but obviously they're not going into PE teaching like I am.
Yeah.
They might be doing, I don't know, sports coaching or analytical work in, like, science, sports science, data, which I think is boring. It's me, mate Callum's probably doing that. But it makes it interesting.
Yeah, I don't really speak to people from different courses, sure. to be honest. But I think it's kind of stems from when, like, we first started in first year,
mm-hmm.
our course size was so small. We all fit around one table at one point.
Really?
So
wow.
it was, if we're going on, like, say, a night out, or someone's birthday, or we just want to hang out, we kind of do that together, and not everyone likes to do that, so then the group gets even smaller, so
yeah.
we've become like a close little group.
Yeah,
so I've never really felt like I've had to branch out. But I have enjoyed actually getting to know, I mean, most of the time it's more the creative courses, because
yeah.
we kind of have to network with
yeah,
them a
yeah.
little bit, or journalism students,
yeah.
we tend to speak to a lot, but yeah.
I considered journalism.
Did
sport
you?
Journalism, yeah. Anyway, I've done it again. Apologies to our listeners and watchers, shall I say.
You were talking about how, like, people have been, like, really nice and supportive. And so with that, how can non-Jewish individuals better understand and appreciate Jewish culture without
kind of
that?
I think it's important that they don't make any assumptions based off of what they see, yeah. like, on the internet and things, because, not to say that everyone is, but some people say things when they're not educated, so
yeah,
they can't kind of speak from their own experience, and it's kind of better to get the information from someone who's affected by it, like a Jewish person, from their point of view,
yeah,
specifically,
definitely.
As opposed to going, like, through a third party.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, definitely.
I think an important thing with that is, like, educating someone. It's like with me, if I say something that's out of tone or wrong, I'd want someone to say, that's wrong, you definitely can't say that. Because, I mean, there's a part of my life when I was like, you know, like 14, 15, 16, and this is common amongst like boys that age where they're not educated and they'll say things that are really out of tone. And it wasn't until I educated myself during college that I realised that like half the stuff I think is really wrong and like I shouldn't be thinking like that.
Yeah. It was my worst, because I'm so aware of things and I'm like so careful, and even the thought that I might have upset someone, like,
yeah, feels horrible, doesn't it?
I feel so guilty, and half the time I'll say like, I'm so sorry, have I said the wrong thing? And they'll be like, no, you're fine. So if I had said something wrong, I would definitely want to be told.
And I think I said it on the last podcast when we had Naquandra on, that like, I think it's good to recognise when you mess up as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're only human, you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, if you like, you acknowledge that you've messed up, I think that's important as well. Have you ever had to like educate anyone or like say like what you think's? Has there ever been a situation like that?
I've never had to educate someone, but I have seen, obviously on social media, obviously with the current situation.
Yeah.
I've seen people have kind of, not wrong, but differing opinions to me and different views on it. And I haven't gone and corrected them because that felt wrong for me. But obviously I have seen them and I've thought in my head, that's not how I would have expressed it, or that's not how I would have said it.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose that can bring us on to like the values of it as well, and sort of if we can understand like the values and get educated on the values in Jewish culture, that can help with that. So how does, again, like have you said that you were at a Jewish primary school, how has that contributed to sort of the preserving like the culture and the traditions, and kind of how impactful are them cultures and traditions? Obviously like, for someone like me, I'm not particularly educated, and you know, I want to know more.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously when I was at the Jewish primary school, there was kind of a lot to learn about, and I think the lessons and stuff that they've taught me, not like school lessons, but the teachings and things I've taught me, that's kind of stuck with me. And I've got quite strong memories of, I think I was on the Shabbat family at least 3 times, and I remember everyone who I was doing that with.
That's really good. Yeah. Nice, I like that. Are there any specific values or principles that are important to you? Like, what's one of the values that like is most important to you and like impactful?
Personal kind of attachment, is that the right word?
What's the most personally like meaningful one?
There is one which says that if like on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, where you fast for 25 hours, there's a rule on there, and also for Shabbat, that says that if you're going to save someone's life or you're helping like medical treatment, then you are allowed to break that rule. And obviously as a nurse, I think that one is quite important.
Yeah, that plays into that massively, doesn't it?
And any very kind of religious doctors or nurses, like very religious Jewish doctors or nurses, they may kind of eat on those days because they are providing that care to the patients.
Yeah, I never knew that.
No, me neither.
But again, it's really great that we've got this opportunity here with this podcast
to
discuss this, because I would have never known that. And I suppose it's good that that's something that is like not accepted, but like is an option to do.
Yeah.
And I suppose that plays massively into like your role that you're going into. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, no, that's really good
impactful,
answer.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that.
So we're going to move on to a bit more of a, fun's the wrong word, because it's all really interesting, but we're big music, art,
yes, we love music,
film fans. I mean, we've already brought up Friday Night Dinner. So within Jewish culture, are there specific forms of art, music and entertainment that are close to you?
There aren't, particularly when a Jewish boy or Jewish girl turns, like becomes a Jewish adult, or their bar or bat mitzvah, it's kind of typical to have a big celebration party, and there's often lots of music and Israeli dancing, where typically the men and the women are split into two different circles, so we'll dance separately, but then music kind of is a common factor with all of us.
What sort of music do you listen to, like not just specifically like Jewish music, like outside, external to music, sort of you go to?
I'm pretty big musicals fan, I can't lie.
Oh, musicals. Oh, okay. I love the Matilda one the other day. Yeah, I love that one. And it's on TikTok. Is it Tick Tick Boom with Andrew Garfield? Have you watched that one?
I've not watched that. I really want to. It's right up my street. I'd love musical as well. So
media student.
I know. I can't watch all the films. Come on, I'll be there all day.
Tiff, you've got to go on that. It's so good.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll add it to my list.
What's the main song? 3090. Oh, it's brilliant. Is it
3090?
I don't know.
I've not seen it. You've not seen
it? No.
Right, when you get in, right, and the view is, watch Tick Tick. It's either Tick Tick Boom or TikTok Boom, or something like that.
Tick Tick.
Tick Tick Boom. Oh, it's so good. I love it. Mainly because I love Andrew Garfield, but it's so good. It's so good. Are there any, like, sort of, how can I word this, sort of, like, movies that are impactful in, like, Jewish culture, or, like, depict Jewish culture? Are there any?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I hope I've worded that right, if that makes sense.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean, but I don't think there are any. No. I mean, have you heard of the book of The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas?
Yeah,
so that's obviously kind of important as well. Mm. But I don't think there are many films.
Yeah.
I've got a question. Mm. So I have a feeling like this is wrong, though, but I remember learning, because I did music as a GCSE, and I'm pretty sure we ended up talking about kind of like Jewish music, if I remember correctly. But at Jewish weddings,
yes,
is that with the chairs? Like, because when you said the circles and you mentioned weddings and celebrations, it like struck a memory.
Yeah.
Is that when they like they end up on chairs on top?
Yep. I've been on them.
Have you?
Yeah.
See, but like you were thinking then, like, oh, can I ask that? Like, that's why we're having this discussion. We can educate. Yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
We learned about so many different like cultures and that within that course that I was thinking I could quite easily get some muddled here. But
yeah,
as you were like talking about it and talking about the music and
I'm glad you've asked that, Tiff, because again, I didn't know. So you already educated me again. It's good. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that.
It like brought on a memory of a specific like video of it that we watched, and I remember thinking that looks like the best time.
It's petrifying. Is it? I can't laugh.
But what actually happens? I sort of know what you mean, but like, what are we actually like referring to? Like, explain the process. Yeah,
it's kind of wild since I learned about it all.
In the middle of the Jewish circles of dancing, like the Israeli dancing, the kind of special child or the special people, like if it's a couple getting married, then they would be lifted up onto a chair, and kind of the strongest people would take hold of each of the legs of the chair and just kind of hold them up in the air.
As they sat on the chair?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's petrifying.
I can imagine. You don't have like a seatbelt or anything?
No.
What happens if you fall? Or just...
Not happened yet, that I've seen. It's like a normal chair that, you know, you'd sit at a meal. You're just on those.
So, with regards to, obviously, the chair, why do they do that?
I think it's just kind of to kind of honour and celebrate the personal people and kind of draw attention to them and kind of cherish that they're a special person on that evening or whenever it is.
Is it, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, is it just anyone goes on the chair or is it a specific person's chosen?
No, so it's kind of the person whose event it is. So if it was someone's bar mitzvah, it would be that boy or... If it was a couple getting married, then on the men's side, there'll be the groom going up, and on the women's side, the bride would go up.
Oh, so would it be two people, just one?
It'd be two, because typically men and women are split.
Yeah.
It depends how religious you are.
Yeah.
But then typically it's men and women separated.
Oh. So in those sort of celebrations and things, why do they typically separate the men and the women?
I don't know if this is fully accurate, but this is what I've been told, that it's kind of because... They don't want people to be kind of distracted by the opposite sex of people.
Yeah.
So then kind of celebrate on just the man whose event it is, or just celebrate on the girl.
Okay, yeah.
How do you see Jewish culture evolving in the modern world? And how have you seen it, like, sort of, I don't know, what's your opinion on it evolving over time, I suppose?
I mean, obviously, I can't predict what's going to happen in the future, because that's...
It'd be good if you could, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Money's
worth out of that.
I mean, but obviously, because I can't predict what's going to happen, I just kind of hope that it's kind of a welcoming and supportive community for those younger generations.
Yeah. That's good.
And what steps do you think are important in preserving and passing on the traditions?
I think it's really important that that the Jewish community remains inclusive and kind of open for anybody, no matter how religious they are or not.
Yeah. I suppose a part of that comes with like the educating side, doesn't it? So yeah. One thing I do want to ask is like, how do you go about, again, someone like me who's got barely any base understanding of like Jewish culture, how do you go about, say if someone asks you questions, how do you go about educating them? Like, where would you start, I suppose?
Oh, mainly it would depend on what they wanted to know about.
Yeah.
If they had a specific area that they wanted to know more about, then I would try and focus on that.
Yeah, that's good, right. Is it hard to just get it all out generally then?
Yeah, because yeah. I think there's lots of different aspects that you can focus on, like the community aspect or the food or the family. There's lots of different topics.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know if there's any specific kind of like content creators or books maybe that people can educate themselves with? Because I know a lot of the time it's kind of like not necessarily your job to educate people, but then if you say to people you should go and educate yourselves, you can't always trust that they're going to the right places.
Yeah.
So is there anyone or anything that comes to your mind that you'd recommend to take a look at?
I can't think of any content creators off the top of my head, but there's like the Chabad website,
okay,
which we can link in the description.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just because that's kind of a good website that kind of gives it in simplified.
Yeah.
Not simplified, but to kind of make it easy to digest and easy to understand.
Yep, I get what you mean.
That's cool. So we'll move on to a little bit about Hanukkah. Obviously, happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
How has the celebration of Hanukkah evolved? And can I get like just a bit of a very brief sort of description of what it is? Because again, like I've heard the term loads of times, but I actually don't fully understand sort of what it means. So have you got any sort of intel or just a very brief summary of what it like entails?
So kind of there's a main story of what Hanukkah is. Is that enough for you if I go into that?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
So it's kind of after the Jewish temple was destroyed by the Greek armies, the light in the temple that symbolizes the presence of God, so it's kind of an everlasting light that's always on to show that God is kind of always watching over you.
Yeah.
It only had enough oil left in it for one day.
Yeah.
And obviously, the army had destroyed the rest of the other bottles of oil. And the miracle is that bottle of oil lasted for 8 days. Well, because it took for that long until more could be obtained.
Yeah,
yeah. So to commemorate that, we kind of often eat fried food and things that need a lot of oil. And that's why we have the...
Oh, that makes sense, actually, yeah. I didn't even give that a thought. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, like, donuts and things, they're fried in oil, typically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite cool. But again, like, I'm glad we've had this discussion because for someone like me, unfortunately, I am very uneducated on it, whereas, like, coming away from this, I feel that I have learned quite a fair bit.
I think it's been so long since I've ever had any proper, like, kind of religious education, and I literally mean, like, I haven't since I was in year 9. Yeah, 10.
Yeah.
Maybe at a push. But I remember, like, that's one of the reasons why I love this podcast and meeting new people, because I always found it interesting.
Yeah.
Because I like learning about different beliefs and celebrations, especially as someone who doesn't celebrate a religion. It's really nice.
And even, like, the episodes that we've done in previous series, if you haven't listened to them, like... When you're talking about even like university life and you find out like their journey and like stuff, and like obviously we've had like international students, we've had students like travel in from different areas, and like you get to understand like their perspective, and like it really does make you think that, like, of all the people at the university, each person has a different reason why they're going, and like if you really deep it can be quite scary actually, thinking about how many people at the university and how many like different lives there are. And
that's a 3 o'clock in the morning thought.
That is a 3 o'clock. that's gonna be a different podcast episode. So again, moving back onto the topic of Hanukkah, how do you celebrate it?
So we would light a Hanukkah, as we've got sat in front of you.
Let's move that in front of us there.
So kind of on like night one, we would light one candle, and throughout the rest of the 8 nights, we would kind of add another candle.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
and liked it. We would also eat like the fried foods.
Yeah, yeah.
And typically, I'm not quite sure where this is stemmed from in relation to it, but each night, children and family would get one present.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So kind of, we'd get one present each night, and that would go on for 8 days.
Oh. What kind of, did the presents, are the presents like something specific, or could it literally just be a present?
Be whatever you anything? Want.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice. Yeah. For 8 days?
Yeah.
Is there like
that sounds quite good.
Is there like it a is. System where, say, the first present's smaller and then it gets to like a bigger like main present? I'm going to quote that. But like, or question, is it literally a mix?
Or does it gradually build up to something like a bigger present, I suppose?
I mean,
if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does, but I know that some families don't often do that. It's not what everyone does, but typically it would go from smaller to kind of the biggest one to kind of celebrate it all.
Yeah. And I kind of like, I suppose, like, because it's like, so is that like, is that the last day, like the eighth day, the most important, or are they all equally important?
They're all equally important. Yeah. It's just to kind of keep reminding you that we're celebrating the fact that they're oil would only have lasted for one day, it would have lasted for 8 days.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, that makes sense. No. Okay, oh, well, that's good. So are there, one of the last questions we're going to ask you is, are there any new or creative ways that people sort of incorporate Hanukkah into their lives? Or how do you do it? Try to incorporate it as much into your life?
I mean, obviously, being in student accommodation, you can't light candles because would put a set the fire alarm off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we don't recommend that.
Please don't. So you can get electric ones that are just like a little light that you can switch on.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you're still kind of treasuring that tradition and that festival, but you just can't light a candle.
Yeah. I suppose, I'd imagine it's not the same, but at the same time, it's sort of better than nothing.
It's still something.
Yeah, it's something. One thing we do want to ask you about is, how do you participate within the Jewish community? And what role does the synagogue play in your life?
Well, so kind of since I've been at uni, I haven't found there to be kind of a big community, so it's not played that big of a role. But obviously back home in Manchester, not that I'm well known in the synagogue, but kind of people will go, oh, it's nice to see you've been away, how's uni, or things like that. Yeah. So it's kind of a really close-knit family with them.
Yeah, I suppose that's good that they've sort of remembered you as well. And it does show that value that they have, that it obviously everyone's got a really like high importance,
really,
which is really nice.
Like,
yeah,
way,
yeah, I like that. I think we have sort of touched on this, but are there any community events that are quite meaningful to you, or obviously like festivals? Like which ones sort of like stand out to you?
I mean, I don't think there are any particular festivals as such, but there's, our synagogue does Mitzvah Day, which is where you would go around and kind of do good tokens with people, it's like good deeds and like donate to charity and things. So typically we would hold a kind of a day where we would go around and give donations to hospital wards or either ambulance services or people like that who... obviously everyone are impacted by, but just to make sure that we kind of say thank you and are grateful for what they do for us.
Yeah, that's good. And if there are any students at staffs that are wanting to get involved with sort of the Jewish community, if you do search up online the Stoke-on-Trent Synagogue, just make sure I got that right. They do hold events. If you find them on Facebook, you can get in touch with them and they can give you any more details or any more information, which I think is really good for obviously the community in Stoke-on-Trent. Yeah.
And also, obviously, keep an eye on what's going on around the university as well. And if you know any Jewish students, just talk to them.
And also, we have very kindly been given a sort of a movie list that is impactful in the Jewish culture. So that will be linked as well if anyone is interested in that. Yeah. So I think that does about wrap it up.
It's been
a brilliant conversation. Abby, thank you so much for giving us your time to talk about it. It's been incredible.
It's been great meeting you.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. Also want to say a massive thank you to the Stoke-on-Trent Synagogue. I don't think I'm getting the name fully right there, but thank you for letting us use this venue for our podcast, because this is really surreal. It's incredible.
Yeah, and thank you to Rabbi Martin for having us. It's been great.
But also, thank you to our listeners and obviously our watchers. It still feels weird saying that.
Yeah. I keep like, it's very surreal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Going from one mode to the other. But,
yeah. But no, it's good. So yeah, thank you to our listeners and watchers for taking part.
Thank you to you, Danny.
Oh, I'm never thanking myself, Tiff.
And obviously, as always.
Thank you, Tiff, for your hosting.
And also, thank you to our podcast producer and production editor who does all the hard work behind the scenes.
We literally won't be able to do it without you. If you would like to be a guest on a future episode of our podcast, then please send us a direct message on any form of social media.
To find further support at university, you can visit staffs.ac.uk or your Student Connect team.
Don't forget to let us know about what you think about the podcast so far, what you'd like to hear on it, and if there's any changes. If you do have any questions, don't hesitate. Make sure you tag us on social media at StaffsUni or hashtag the Student Connect podcast on any form of social media you have available.
And that's it.
Until next time.
Goodbye. Happy Hanukkah if you're celebrating.
And happy Hanukkah.